Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at ethostrainingshy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today's guest is calling all the way in from Australia, which is absolutely amazing. I have Sheila Kennedy on the phone lines, and Sheila and I met at Sophia's Lifestyle Camp. She is also one of my sponsors, athletic sponsors, through the Athlete's Sports Bag, and she specializes in sound healing and frequencies, along with so many other things. But Sheila is just an absolutely amazing soul and has an awesome energy, and we connected right away, and I wanted to have her on because I utilize a lot of frequencies and sound healing with my clients, and I want to learn more about it, but I know a lot of people have an interest in it. And I wanted her to kind of share everything that she does and her background and what exactly sound healing is. So thank you, Sheila, for being on. And I know it's probably super early in Australia right now.
Thank you for having me, Jen. And it's probably about 2:15 in the morning on Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. It's for people to realize it's Tuesday right now in Chicago and it's 11:20 a.m. here. So we have a little bit of a difference, just a little.
Just a little, yes.
Yes.
Good fun though, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. I really appreciate you taking this time. And I want you, for starters, to just share a little bit of your background.
A little bit about Sheila.
Yes.
I was born a very long time ago, in 1950, in the UK. And I was born into a Western medical household. So my father was a director of nursing. He trained nurses, which was very unusual for men in those days. And my mother was a nursing sister. And basically, I was ill all of my life from being a very, very small child. Supposed to die at three.
Oh my gosh.
Was given a year to live, and I'm still here. And I've had a number of these death sentences over the years. So I keep figuring one day they're going to get it right, and I'm still here.
You're going to be here for a very long time.
Well, I am going to be here for a very long time, Jen, and people look at me sort of sideways sometimes when I say I've been planning on having a 150th birthday for the last 39 years.
I think that's incredible.
So my children all think I'm totally strange, and even more so when I tell them after I've had that 150th birthday then I'm planning on having a 200th. And I invite everybody. You've got to have a note signed by both your parents if you're not going to be there. So,
I love that. Well, I hope I can be there. I will try my hardest to make it.
I am expecting you, Jen. So, my reason for saying that I probably wasn't aware 39 years ago of what I know now, obviously, but I believe we have much longer to live than we're told that we can or that we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed that for a very, very, very long time. But it's probably about 17 years ago that I met a man who totally changed my life. I'd been very, very unwell for a long time. And it had a turnaround and was getting better basically had come from a fall into about 9 years of walking frame crutches, wheelchair crutches, being told that I would never walk again 20 years ago and that I would die very soon.
Wow.
And having met you, Jen, you know I can run up and down stairs.
You're fabulous. I mean, your mobility is wonderful. You would never have I would have never known that unless you shared that.
So basically, I came out of the wheelchair with a 2-inch buildup on my right shoe. So I was very, very lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, coming out of the wheelchair is just not a practicality. You're going to die. So I was quite determined that I wasn't, that I was going to prove them wrong. I have this, you know, please don't tell me I can't do something because I'm going to show you that I can.
Oh, yeah. You and I are very similar in that way.
So sound has been something that I had grown up with, even around the West, not from a healing perspective, but and not around the Western medical perspective, especially. But my father was quite a talented musician in his own right, but he played by ear. He'd never had any formal training. So I grew up with Dad playing musical instruments and singing, and I don't specifically do either. I did learn the violin for a few years. We went from the UK, from England, to East Africa when I was about 8 and a half. And at that stage, I couldn't walk properly. My legs wouldn't hold me up. I got up one morning just before I turned 8 and had no use in my legs. So it was just another thing in the saga of Sheila sick and let's see another doctor. But living in Africa, I went to sleep every night to the sound of the drums.
Oh, wow.
So you're talking the late 50s. Yes, there were some cities in Africa. My father actually ran a hospital in Kampala, British-built, very large hospital. But we also lived in some very country areas where, you know, the drums were used for communication. And I would, as I said, go to bed every night to the sound of the drums. So it was a different sound, a different music, if you like, but it really resonated with me. And when we came to Australia in 1964, I was 14, I really did not want to leave Africa. You know, it was home to me, and Australia was a totally alien land, if you like. But then you had the Indigenous Australians with their music, the didgeridoo, and we lived in basically the middle of nowhere in a place called Kalgoorlie, which is very gold-oriented, huge gold mines and so on. And Australia, unfortunately, like a lot of the world, didn't accept the Indigenous population. So you didn't have a lot of interaction with that culture, but I was always aware of it being around and also aware of the music or the sounds, which were different. So I explored sound over the years, over many years actually, just in having an interest in how sound made people feel.
Mm-hmm.
And my late husband was very into country and Western music. I'd grown up with classical music, playing the violin with classical music. My father listened to things like Aka Bilk many years ago. A lot of people wouldn't possibly have even heard from him when he was younger. But different types of music all around me. And because Western medicine, from my perspective, had let me down for so long, and then I had two children who had severe learning difficulties, and I actually have 5 children, and then some extras later on. But there was nothing around
that.
When my children were, so there's 4 extras, so there's 9 of them altogether. There was nothing around when my children were little, but I found that for my youngest son, who would get very agitated and really lose it, that putting music on would actually calm him down. So, you know, I would always make sure I had different music playing depending on the mood the kids were in and things like that. Just simply because it kept the house running more smoothly. And I'm not personally a television person, you see, so having music going was a good option. So I started when I came out of the wheelchair really looking at music and sound from a different perspective. And I connected with different people. I went off and learnt Reiki or hands-on healing, which I really loved. And although it wasn't musically based, it was energy based. Mm-hmm. And so I'd gone, you know, over 40 years, basically, my younger son's 44, to looking for answers, looking for things that, why does this make a difference? Why does this work? Will this help? Et cetera, et cetera. And then in 2002, I'd come out of the wheelchair and an amazing chiropractor, and that was sheer bloody-mindedness, seriously, that I was going to walk, and I did. I taught myself to walk. It wasn't a huge physio or a training program. It was Sheila saying, I'm going to take that first step, and now I've taken one and hadn't worked out how I was getting back in the wheelchair, just how I was going to stand up, take one step.
That is incredible, though. I mean, that's the power of the mind right there.
It is, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
And we all have this incredibly powerful mind, but we're told we do not in so many instances. So I parked the wheelchair one step from the wall and stood up with the elbow crutches and collapsed on the wall and thought, I did that, and then turned around very, very slowly and looked at the wheelchair and thought, I didn't work out how I was getting back in the chair. How to do half a job, basically. But that one step started me on a journey to walking. And by the time I could take six steps, I started pushing the wheelchair around. So, and the honest thing here, Jen, is nobody wanted me to walk. My children didn't want me to walk. My ex-partner didn't want me to walk. I used to get, sit in your chair, what if you fall over again? I've had hundreds and hundreds of falls following the original one, three stairs backwards at work in 1989. My youngest son, who's a very big man, would pick me up and literally sit me back in the chair. Sit in your wheelchair and be a good girl and I'll make you a nice cup of tea. Well, I really do not want a nice cup of tea. I actually want to walk.
You're like, I want to get out of this chair and walk. Thank you.
Yeah. So I ended up moving. I moved 2 hours away from home to a property my eldest son and I owned, a farm. And I planted, my second son planted 325 rainforest trees for me in the driest place in the part of Victoria I lived in. And I carried one crutch and a bucket of water, and I watered every one of those trees with a bucket of water every day. So half a bucket in the morning and half a bucket in the evening. And that was my rehabilitation. I made myself walk.
That's just
incredible. But around that time, so about 19, 20 years ago, I met a wonderful lady who was English and Polish, but very interested in American Indian spirituality. And she introduced me to American Indian drums. And I'd over the that sort of time frame, found some crystal bowls, a big Tibetan bass bowl, some Tibetan bells, and a few other things. And I've done some training in different sort of healing type, and I'm saying healing in inverted commas because I believe the body's a self-healing mechanism. So all the healing modalities only assist what your body already knows from my perspective. So I was playing with some of these instruments and seeing some clients and totally different from the accounting background that I'd come from and originally started nursing, although it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a vet. And was sort of exploring sound and how sound works with the aura, the energy fields around the body and so on in different ways. And many years previously, I'd been a chiropractic clinic manager. So a very good chiropractor got me out of the built-up shoe and into a normal shoe with an orthotic, but still with quite a bad limp and basically two elbow crutches, and then one crutch, which he said, you're crazy, you what if you fall again, and 3 months later, no crutches. So it was a real journey of I'm moving forward. But at that time, he said to me, there's a man I'd really like you to see. I can't tell you what he does. I think it's something from the Bible, but he seems to have really good results where other people do not. So I rang up, and this man charged at that stage an enormous amount of money for me because I just didn't have it, and thought maybe later. And then a couple of years went past, and I travelled, and I learned a lot of other things, spent a lot of time living with my hypnosis trainer, who I referred to as the mad hypnotist, and was mad, believe me, and realising that, you know, through hypnosis that I could work with myself, but I could also help other people. And that, again, brought up that self-healing mechanism of the body, that you ask the body to do something or give it an instruction. And as long as you phrase it correctly, because words are really important to me, as you probably remember, Jess.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the way that you showed, you know, the perspective you put on the positive and negative self-talk was truly amazing. It really made you think.
So it was just another string to the many little bits and pieces that I had basically along the way. And we've been traveling and working, and I came back to live in a country town in Victoria in Australia. And a young friend of mine said, I've been to see this amazing man, Shirley, you really should do this. And I said, I actually heard about this man a couple of years ago. So give me a chance to get unpacked. She'd organized me a unit where she was living, and, you know, 2 or 3 weeks and I'll make an appointment and I'll go and see him. So it was probably about 2 weeks later, and she called me and said, look, I know I'm a nuisance, but your car's out the front, mine's down the back in the garage, and I think I've got the flu. Do you think you could drive me to the chiropractor? I've got an appointment. I'll only be half an hour. Just do not want to miss it. So she's sort of like one of my extra children. And I've driven her up to this appointment, and it's 10 minutes away, so there's no point in going home, you know, 10 minutes there, 10 minutes back. You might as well just wait. So I'm sitting in the waiting room flicking through this magazine, and I do not buy magazines, Jen. I read other people's when I go out. And so, you know, the time sort of went fairly quickly, and I heard her come, her voice, and I looked up, and she came through a door way over the other side of the big room with this big, tall, bearded man. And she said, I'll introduce you to Sheila. She's going to come and see you later. And I stood up, and I probably took 3 steps towards him. And this man stopped, and he said, you've got one shoulder higher than the other, one leg's longer than the other, your eyes don't focus properly, something else I've never remembered. But his piece de resistance was, you've had 3 heart attacks, the next one's going to kill you, I've got an hour now if you want it. And I sort of went, thank you very much.
Wow, I'd be like, that's crazy. That's what you just got from me, like, by just meeting me.
And followed him into like a treatment room, and he said, sit on the table, hold your arms strong, basic kinesiology, muscle testing. Mm-hmm. My name's Sheila. No, it's not. My name's Melinda, the young friend. Yes, it is. My name's Melinda. No, it's not the young friend I was with. And then he was mentally asking some questions and moving, you know, pressing on my arm. And all of a sudden he said to me, 7 years and 9 months, Sheila, what happened at 7 years and 9 months? And I said, I don't know, Cameron, I was a little kid. And I had had 3 heart attacks, by the way, between 40 and 50. So he was very spot on. And my eyes had never focused properly. I could never catch a ball or play tennis because of the ball. I would lose the focus of the ball and then it would suddenly hit me in the face. I could see it coming towards me and then there'd be a blank spot and then bang, the ball.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And yes, I was still short on one side because I had the orthotic in my shoe. And
of course.
So he pinpointed a spot on my left ankle that hurt when he pressed on it. In fact, I nearly went through the roof. It hurt quite a lot. And he mentioned the name of basically a disease, which is very similar to what in the States you call Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
The bug he talked about was called rickettsia, so rickettsia. And he said, rickettsia, you've got rickettsia. Well, what's rickettsia? And he said, it's a bite from a tick or a flea that puts a microbe into your bloodstream. You know, it injects saliva to your blood out. So if it's got a microbe in its saliva and that goes into your bloodstream, it can sit there and do absolutely nothing, or it can imitate a whole heap of other diseases. And he said, this is what's bitten you, and it's a wonder it hasn't killed you. As a matter of fact, it nearly has. Let's see how long you had to live when you were born. 225 years. How long did you have to live now? 6 weeks. So he said you'd have had another major heart attack and you'd have died. So it was quite gobsmacking again. So, you know,
I mean, that's really a lot of information to take in and deal with. Yeah.
But his whole process, he had an amazing story of he was supposed to die at 38 and he was 74 when he passed away a couple of years after I met him, was based on the part of the Bible, Exodus chapter 28, the breastplate of Aaron. So the 12 stones that were given to Moses, one for each tribe of the Israelites, and the two stones of judgment. So he had a replica of this breastplate, which looks like a religious artifact, and he'd spent 30 years traveling the world researching ancient healing modalities. So he used sound in a very, very different way than I was used to working with sound. Mm-hmm. So he had 14 pairs of Tibetan bells, one for each of the 14 meridians, so the lines on the acupuncture doll where the acupuncturist would put them. Yeah, your meridian structure. I went on to study with him. We had seven Tibetan bowls, one for each of the chakras. So mm-hmm. the fuses in the fuse box shell version. I see the body as being like a house. So the power box on the outside or inside with the fuses or electrical switches, your bundle of wires going up through the wall into the roof, coming down to your lights, power point switches, so the meridian structure. And then a 6 foot long Tibetan horn. And I can't blow a 6 foot Tibetan horn. I don't have enough lung power. that worked with the first auric field of seven fields there, which is the power in the power box, my version, the potential energy, top of your head to the bottom of your spine.
Okay.
So he laid me down on this massage table and put this breastplate thing on top of me and dinged all these bells and bowls, and it was a totally, you know, weird experience. But it quite fascinated me because I walked out of his room he was using. He didn't live there. He was visiting from another town. And I was completely straight. And for the first time in 13 years, I had no pain.
That is incredible. Wow.
I had lived with pain from the back of my neck to the bottom of my feet for 13 years, 24 hours a day.
And to go into this one appointment and walk out and feel amazing, that's wow.
And doctors will say to you, you can't have pain 24 hours a day. Yes, you can, believe me.
When you experience it, you know, oh, yes, you can.
And I had an extreme scoliosis in my spine, so my spine looked like a letter S.
Well, we're very similar in that I have my scoliosis.
So I'd had x-rays, like full body x-rays years earlier, that showed my spine looking like a letter S. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the whole spine started to straighten. And, you know, now, 17 years later, I'm completely straight. It took a while. It didn't happen overnight. It took a few years. But, you know, my whole body readjusted itself, which was quite amazing. And the interesting thing is that I had seen a neurologist for a number of years and went back to see him without the crutches and without the built-up shoe, and I was there for 5 minutes. And he just sort of tapped my knee and tapped my ankle and said, I don't know what you're doing, Sheila, and please don't tell me, just keep doing it. And I'll see you in 12 months' time. I haven't been back since.
Oh, my
goodness. So it was like, how can you have such a difference between Western medicine saying, well, for some reason you're getting well and you shouldn't be, because mm-hmm. we told you to die, and you're actually out of the wheelchair and you're not 2 inches short on one side and you're walking fine, and you know, but we really not interested in knowing how you've done it or what you're doing. It just blew my mind, basically. How can people be so closed-minded? So I probably sent 50 people, Jen, to see this man in the next month.
Oh, I'm sure.
I thought he walked on water and he didn't. And I took my ex-partner, the mad hypnotist, along to see an in conversation.
I love that.
He used to say, don't tell me, I'll tell you. And he would ask a series of questions, a protocol of questions, and then use these different bells and bowls. And he said, I want you to get a course profile and come and study with me. And it was like, no, no, no. he was very anatomy, physiology based, and I walked away from that with starting nursing because it wasn't what I wanted to do. And, started going down that alternative path over the years. But I did take my youngest son along to see him. And Christopher at 28 couldn't read or write. So he was a very bright young man, but just really had a lot of trouble in school. Mm-hmm. He got sent outside to play because he disrupted the classroom. You didn't have your ADD, ADHD, which in my perspective do not exist anyway, classification, but he did have a hearing problem. But he just never learnt to read and write. So I arranged to meet him. I was travelling with Cameron doing some work in the country town that I'd heard about him in originally, when I finally gave in and went and studied with him, and then he asked me to join him in his practice. So I got my son to meet us there, and we were the biggest pack of witch doctors he'd ever come across, because this was all this weird stuff with the bells and the bowls and this breastplate with these beautiful crystals. I call mine the Harry Potter outfit, actually.
Well, I'm sure people are not used to seeing this stuff. And that's one of the questions I want to ask you, too, is, you know, how you kind of explain how this works. And for people, especially who aren't as open, because I'm sure people question, how does that really help?
I haven't used a Harry Potter outfit in years. Yeah. purely and simply because I started work with Cameron. I trained with Cameron in 2003. So I spent a whole year with him basically. Joined his practice on the 1st of January 2004, and he passed away by the end of July that year. So we had 5 CD programs of Cameron's work. He made all the sounds with the bells and the bowls and his voice, so specific words asking the body to do specific things and so he'd say to people, repeat after me, and he'd give them a sentence to repeat. So Cameron passed away and it was like, we can't make any more sounds. We don't have him. We don't have his expertise. We do not have his expertise. And I had a specific set of Tibetan bells, Tsingsha bells, so T-I-N-G-S-H-A-W, that I'd had for years before I met Cameron, and he always wanted them. So I figured if he wanted them, there had to be something good about them, and no, he wasn't getting them. I still got them. Before Cam passed away, my other colleague who's in the practice has also since passed away about a year or so ago, and I'd been talking about anxiety, and that we felt that about 95% of the people we saw as clients in the practice had anxiety from conception. Mm-hmm. So basically it's conception that mum and dad were worried about you, put everything in your body under pressure like being in a vice. Every cell, fibre, nerve, muscle, organ worked overtime. And I'd mentioned it to Cameron, who was going off to Toronto. He taught around the world. So Australia didn't accept him, but America and Germany and Denmark and so on did. It was quite interesting. And I think we're just about 10 years behind in Australia, unfortunately, than the rest of the world when it comes to alternative modalities. So Cameron had passed away and we had no one else to make anything else. So I started playing with this one set of bells to see if I could make a sound for anxiety, and it worked. And it was just a few bells and my mentally saying some words in my head, talking to the body, of saying I want you to release anxiety physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And I just wrote the words on a piece of paper. And then over a couple of months, I'd gone to another state to see Cameron's clients, basically when he passed away, and met a lady who I saw a couple of times. Not that they needed to come because, you know, most of Cameron's work, you saw him once to a follow-up and you had a CD that you played once a week for the rest of your life and just kept your body in alignment. He wasn't a come back and see me next week person. Mm-hmm. And I followed that teaching that once you correct the body, as long as it's got a support system in place, basically, I'm not needing to see that person again.
Well, that's what's pretty amazing is that you, you know, you've talked about this, but when someone comes to see you and you can correct that, there is no reason for them to keep coming back. Like there might be maintenance things they can do with the sounds and stuff, but, you know, if it's really working and you are helping someone, they shouldn't have to be coming back all the time.
Exactly. And it's why I always say to people, Jen, I'm not a healer. Mm-hmm. I have a joke that in Australia, healers are dogs. They're either blue or red, and so they have four legs and ears and a tail. And it's spelled H-E-E-L-E-R-S.
Like a blue, yeah, blue healer.
So, you know, I've never wanted to be seen as being a healer. I sort of cringe at the word a lot of people use it to describe me, unfortunately, and it's like, do we have to do that? Because to me, the body does have that self-healing mechanism, and we just need to activate it.
Well, you're like that tool. I mean, you're that guide that's helping, and I think that's why people see it as healing or as people as being healers, because you are that guide or that source that's kind of helping them get to that place. But it really is the body that's kind of doing that self-healing.
And that innate intelligence that's within all of us, sorry, I'm coughing at you, which is quite incredible. So when Susan, who became my business partner in Sounds from Source, which is website that we have a lot of sound programs on and teach practitioner courses through, when I played this anxiety sound for her, and it within about 2 minutes her shoulders went this big relax, and you know, she said, this is amazing, what are you going to do with this, you know, this knowledge? It's like very different than Cameron's work, but you know, it really works. And it was like, well, I don't know, just ding bells, I suppose. And she suggested that I could record and have CDs. Well, that was a bit scary. And then she mentioned websites, and she just lost me.
You're like, what? How do I do that?
Not particularly computer-minded in any way, shape, or form. And she suggested that she could build me a website. So we started working together about 14 years ago. And there are now, on the Sounds from Source, so S-O-U-N-D-S from S-O-U-C-E.com website. There's a list of about 1,008, I think, sounds, but I've probably got about 1,500 programs altogether.
That's so incredible. I mean, that's amazing that you've created all those sounds, and it's for, I mean, almost anything you could possibly think of.
Well, exactly, because in asking for something, if you, I often say, Jen, if we ask the right questions, we get the right answers. And mm-hmm. if we ask better questions, we get better answers. So by asking, people asking me something, Sheila, can you do this or can you make something for that? Yeah, of course I can. Okay, how do we do that? And it's been very simple from the perspective for me that I've been very guided, Jen. Mm-hmm. People say to me, you know, how do you know a lot of this stuff? If I'd have studied for 50 years, I probably wouldn't know a lot of the stuff I know now, simply because when I first started doing the early, very early sound, I had a connection with what I call a body of consciousness. So a lot of people talk about channeling. I'm not fussed on the word channeling. I would say information is gifted or downloaded to me, but I would sit at the computer with my eyes closed, and I only type with two fingers and type pages of words that were given to me. And then I would go to the recording studio and ding the bells to those words.
Wow.
So the information, the protocols, as I call them, of words went to incredibly deep levels of not only how the body works, but how, you know, energies around us, dimensional energies and universal and metaphysical and multiversal and so on energies work. So I was gifted with some incredible information, and still am. Theoretically, I create something new. So my current project I'm working on is Sounds for Business. And I,
I'm very excited about that.
I did business. I did about 70 different business sounds maybe 10 years ago, and I've really not done a lot with them, and I decided quite recently to revamp them by combining them with energetic frequencies and music to make a something other than bells going ding, 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 because lots of people will say they all sound the same. Actually, to me, they do not, because I hear the words in the bells ringing. If that makes sense. But what I love about the sound therapy and the actual work that I do is you do not actually have to listen to it, as you know. You can have it on very low or on silent.
Yes.
So it's not abusive or, you know, in your face. It can. I get up in the morning and I click a daily playlist on my iTunes, on my laptop, and it's on silent. And I go off and have my shower and make breakfast and I come back and the playlist finished. But it works.
I do that all. I mean, every morning I play my list of sounds that I've asked you for. And I know people can, you know, and I'm asking people to have an open mind. They may hear this and be like, how does that really work? But it's, but you know, I utilize these and I have to say that I've consistently played a lot of the sounds for different things. If it's, you know, confidence or accepting like fearlessness and, you know, some of the business ones I'm looking forward to and anxiety. And I've also used a lot of them with my clients for Reiki sessions and massage. And it works. I'm like it, I can tell the difference and, you know, it just gives you, that ease and that confidence. And it depends what you're playing it for, but I listen to it every morning and it's a way to start my day. And I just feel so much better.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And the simple thing about it, from my perspective, is that all we're doing is activating what you already know, mm-hmm. what your body already knows. And because my interest, I guess, in genetics, my sister and I were both born with a deformity. One of my sisters, I have three, were both born with a deformity of the spine, but mine curves out and hers curves in. Mm-hmm. And we both have an extra lumbar vertebrae, so part of our sacrum became a vertebrae before we were born. And nobody picked it for years. And a very good chiropractor who did an x-ray said to me, this is why part of why your spine is wrong, because you actually sit on your spine, not on your tailbone, because you've got this deformity that no one had ever mentioned. Mm-hmm. So my naturopath going back years ago said to me, the reason you have that deformity is someone generations ago in your family had syphilis, which causes bone deformities. And because every cell in our body retains memory, shell aversion, not just some obscure part of our brain, in that tiny little fetus, and you've got that whole DNA structure of mum and dad coming together and creating you as a tiny little fetus to grow into an adult, all that genetic memory comes through our family genetic line. All the ancestors have gone before us. So this is why we're often told you've got grandma's hips or Auntie Mary's butt or whatever, because you're programmed with all of that, those generations of people prior to you, and their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions.
That's so fascinating.
And how I realized a lot of this, Jen, back in those first months or few months after Cameron passed away, was I had a young couple come to see me who were having a baby, and I was their baby support person. Boxing Day, basically. They had the baby at home. A really beautiful experience. But they'd been to see me, just, you know, arranged that we were going to meet with the midwives and stuff like that. And they'd gone, and I'm sitting looking out the window at the garden thinking, aren't babies amazing? They grow from that one single cell, and it becomes heart cells, skin cells, big toe cells. And each of those cells retains the memory to create that whole unique human being. Think Dolly the sheep and cloning. I wonder what else the cells remember. And I got on my fingers kinesiologically, muscle testing, asking questions, and I've been doing that for years before meeting Cameron, absolutely everything. So can I remove those memories? Yes, of course I can. How do I do that? And that's when the first sound started, basically. Okay, if I ask the body to do something and I use the bells as a carrier to take that message into the cells, then the body will react and do what I ask it to do. So for people who are shaking their heads and going, this woman's totally crazy.
Oh, I love you.
You can actually go and try some of this for yourself. So Sounds and Source has a YouTube channel, and on that YouTube channel some great stuff that you can just go in and have a look at. But one of the sounds on there is called flexibility, and it's my absolutely favorite sound. I tell young kids that I work with that it's my run faster sound. So what it does is a little video there is it takes the locks and blockages out of your body. And we tried this with you, Jen, how much better you can turn and move. And,
oh, and it was so incredible. Such a difference.
55 seconds worth of sound.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it blows my mind still, but I can't deny it. I felt better and it works.
Yeah. So you can go in there and you can actually download that and so on. For people with anxiety, about 3 years ago, I had a wonderful social entrepreneur lady here in Australia say to challenge me, basically, to take something you're really passionate about, Sheila, and give it away. And I created an anxiety program because not just that very first anxiety that I'd been talking to Cameron and Glenn about and was the very first sound they ever created, but I'm aware of at least 20 different anxieties in humans. People themselves. And then there are probably another 15 or so business anxieties that can have an effect on you. So anxiety is an enormous part of, you know, the things that I've worked with over the years. So I created this anxiety giveaway that people can just go in and download. It's got a little book I wrote about it. And the book's really quite good because I like funny pictures and simple explanations. And it's written in two parts. So if you just want a little bit of information, you can read the first half. And you want some deeper information, you can keep going and read the rest of it. But you do not have to. Simply from the fact that if you've got someone with anxiety, do they really want to read a whole book? Probably not. Let's give them the condensed short version and then the more in-depth of the people who want the in-depth. But I took the seven main anxiety sounds and combined them into one sound. So recreated the sound using the knowledge or the information from each of the seven. And it's been amazing. I've given thousands and thousands of these programs away over the last 3 years. I have no idea, to be honest, how many, but my web guy says, wow, we've just hit another 1,000, kind of.
Anxiety is a very real thing, and I think we all have stresses that we deal with. So I think that's probably the best one that you could give away and get the most feedback from too on how much it's helped. And so I want to make sure, you know, that everyone listening, that you do truly go out there and go to the Sounds from Source website and, you know, see a list of all of Sheila's sounds that she has on there, but also any of the free giveaways, take advantage of that because they are so beneficial.
Well, the 7 Steps to Freedom, which is the anxiety giveaway. Mm-hmm. So BTHE7, stepstofreedom.com. You won't find that on Sounds and Source, but you will find it on the YouTube. And I have another website, sheila-kennedy.com, and it's on there. There's also some lovely frequencies on there. So the body has a measurable frequency that I measure at 77.678 megahertz. So plant, animal, and human should all have the same frequency. And, you know, when we hear about frequencies, people talk about, you know, the pyramid of frequencies. Basically, if your energy and your frequency is quite low, then you're in fear. And if it gets higher, then you're in love. And then you're in, you know, being unconditional and so on. So I've taken a couple of the frequencies because I did a show, some sounds for a show for a friend of mine who does a TV show in America. And she contacted me a few months ago and said, "Sheila, darling, I love you, make me a frequency." I want to talk about someone's asking about frequencies. Audrey Hope. She used to do Hope Through Women, and now she does Hope for Relationships. So I did a couple of sounds for Audrey, as one to play on the show and one as a giveaway. So they're both on SheilaKennedy.com. So there's a 432 hertz and a 581 hertz, I think. I can't remember. Sorry, off the top of my head, with music and so on. So people can go in and download those as well. Because I'm about what can we do to help people.
Well, and that's why I love you so much. That's, you know, when that's the mission behind it, I mean, that's the purpose and the intention. That's, you know, it's genuine and it's real. And having connected with you and met you, I know that those, you know, intentions are pure. And that's why I love being able to share this and have you share your story, but also, you know, share the frequencies and sounds with clients, because I know that it's a very good trusted intention behind everything.
Thank you, Jen. That's lovely. And intention is one of the biggest things in what I do, because people say to me, how can you work with someone on the other side of the world that you've never met by playing some sounds in Australia? That person's not necessarily, sometimes it's on Skype or on the phone, but a lot of the time it's in the absence. That person's not hearing those sounds. But when you work with frequency and vibrational frequency, it has no boundaries. It travels. And when your intention when I'm creating sounds is the biggest thing, and then when someone like yourself plays a sound, you add your intention of accepting what it's doing and wanting it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about me giving you a sound, Jen, as we've talked about, and saying, here, play this, it will help you.
Right.
It's your intention in using that, utilizing that frequency for yourself.
It's coming from within that person as well.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And your body accepting and acknowledging that frequency, but the power of your intention. And it's the same when I teach practitioners. I say, you know, my intention is in the sounds, but your intention is in playing that sound, and the client's intention is in accepting that sound.
Wow.
So it becomes,
yeah, that's it right there.
It grows. So it's not about, come and let me heal you. It's, for me, it's about, let me show you how to heal yourself.
Oh, that's amazing. That's just the perfect way to say it right there. That's incredible.
So,
go ahead.
With the Seven Steps to Freedom, I went on and created another giveaway about a year ago called the Seven Steps, so the numeral seven again, to freedom from depression.com. And that's another fantastic, because so many people have depression.
Oh, yes. I just had a guest on last night, Dr. Duffy, and we were talking about teenage anxiety and depression. And, you know, I mean, we all, there's so many people that deal with it, kids, adults, teenagers, but it is very real. And as many, I think, you know, especially holistic alternatives that we can utilize to help, you know, it's great to just be able to expose and share all that information.
Well, to me, you can have depression from birth.
Mm-hmm.
Simply process of being born often misaligns the cranial plates, the bones in the skull, because the bones fold over one another for the birth process and then come back out and clip together and look like someone's gone a bit crazy with a sewing machine. But if the right temporal plate where your ear is hooked on is depressed or pushed in slightly, you can have a mild depression and never ever be aware of it because you've always lived with it. And again, there's a book and there's a series of programs as a giveaway that one to remove the, correct the body so that you're not having the depression. And then another one that you can play daily for, you know, 3, 6 months, whatever suits you, that actually removes the memory of the memory of the memory of having been depressed.
Oh, wow.
Because I realized when I created the very first depression sound back in about 2005, later on, having, you know, worked with somebody who said one day something about being depressed and the fact that their body said, no, they didn't have depression, what their body had in the locked in the cell structure was a memory of having been depressed. So when something came up that would normally have made them depressed, or they would have had a depressive reaction to, their body went into that memory and fed them back those same thoughts and feelings, even though they did not have the actual depression.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm like, I feel like we could talk all day about this and hear all these different experiences. But I love that with the sounds that you do have like information and guides to help people understand how to utilize them, how often, you know, when it's best to do it, and giving the information and just kind of background on how they're really going to help. Because you pretty much have information on almost every download that you do.
Yes. Well, basically, on the Sounds from Source website, a lot of the names of the sounds will be written in blue, not all of them. If the name of the sound's in blue and you click on that name, it will open to a page about that sound. And that's because a big part of me, Jen, is about educating people.
And that's so important.
Yes. Not come and let me fix you, but let me explain to you or give you the opportunity to understand why I created this sound and what it does and how it works. And Susan, my business partner, my colleague in Sounds and Source, there will be an explanation from Susan as well generally, because she utilizes the sounds totally differently than I do. So Susan's very business-minded, very scientific, and I'm a woo-woo person in her point of view.
It's so a good balance right there.
I'm more creative side of it. So when Sounds from Source, because I used to explain the sounds like throwing a stone in a pond and you're getting a ripple effect go out, and I did that for years. And one day Sounds from Source said to me, sorry, Sheila, but you got it wrong. And they talked about morphogenic resonance and quantum physics and totally lost me. But that's Susan Field. She's a science graduate, and you know, she understands it from that point of view. So basically what they said is that when the sounds play, they grow exponentially as they move through the multiverses. So they're not just stuck here on planet Earth. They actually go out as a vibration. And one of the sounds on the Sounds of Source YouTube channel, one of the very early ones I made, is for peace. And somebody said to me, number 60-something, I think. Somebody said to me a very long time ago, if you can make all these incredible sounds, why haven't you made one for world peace? And my comment at the time was, not everybody wants world peace. And do I have the right to inflict what I want on everybody else? So I spent about 6 months really thinking about meditating on, asking questions of myself. Could I create something that would work for the people who wanted it to, but would not have any effect on someone who didn't?
And that's the
peace sound. So it's a really beautiful sound, and I often play it 24 hours a day in the spare bedroom or whatever.
Oh,
and
I'll have to listen to that.
And it just goes out there for those people who want it. And when you're playing sounds for yourself, sometimes people will say, oh, have you got something different? I don't know what it is about you, but it feels good. I wouldn't mind some of that. They're welcome to have it. You know, we're not saying we've played a sound for someone and it's there. You know, that's it. You've just done it for that person. That can resonate out to other people. Again, that's vibration and intention and our individual bodies picking up. You know, but quite often I'll have some of what she's having kind of ads you see on
TV
and so on. So it's the same sort of thing. So one of my explanations is, because a lot of work I've done over the years, one of my passions, having had children with learning difficulties, has been working with children. So the ADD, ADHD, autism, dyslexia, Asperger's, global dyspraxia, all that kind of stuff. And I'm creating a whole series of new programs to do it yourself online with that at the moment. I want it to be really affordable and accessible and so on. But you work with a child who goes to school and they behave better in school because you've corrected their energy field and they start to learn. My youngest son, as I said, couldn't read or write. The two halves of the brain when you're born are working independently. And around 7 months, they start growing message carriers backwards and forwards. So a child sick, teething cold, flu virus, vaccine damage, whatever, those message carriers do not grow. So when the child goes to read, it takes four times more energy for them to turn both eyes on and 10 times more energy for them to read than the child next to them who is integrated. And they get partway down the page and one eye says, hey, what's that? And disappears off somewhere else. So they've got lost and they come back to the start of the page and they've got 14 times more energy again. They might get a little further down the paragraph or down the page and the other eye goes, oh, wow, there's something over there.
Oh,
and then they're
gosh.
Lost and too tiring, too difficult, and they give up. And then they're told you'll never learn to read because you're XYZ. You can change that quite simply.
Wow.
But because you change that in that child, the class has a better day, the teacher goes home in a better mood, the child goes home because they haven't been in trouble all day, so they're in a better mood. Mum's feeling good when they come in because they're not stressed. So then dad's not stressed because he's not coming home to mum and the child being stressed. And that flows on through the whole family.
It's just a ripple effect. It's a domino effect. That's
just
so fascinating. And I would love to continue talking about all of this so much more. I feel like we might have to do a part two so that we can continue on. But I just want to make sure, you know, as we wrap things up, I just want to say thank you again for taking this time out. And I know the time difference is a huge, you know, challenge. You made it very easy, so thank you for that. But I want everybody to know, I want to go over your websites one more time so that people can check them all out. So we have soundsfromsource.com. And then thebestworkoutforyou.com is where all of the athletes sports bag and sounds on there for athletes. There's so many amazing sounds that I utilize before jujitsu that are on there. And there's a lot of sponsored athletes there, but people can find out all that information on that. And you have monthly subscriptions for all of them, correct?
I have sessions with me or a membership program that has some pretty amazing stuff. And there's a 7-day free trial for the membership. So
that's fabulous.
There's some great download stuff in there as well. I like sharing information.
Oh, that's amazing. And where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Facebook under Sheila Kennedy, but I have lots of Facebook pages. there's one for anxiety, need not be a life sentence. There's one for depression, need not be a life sentence. There's support groups for both of those as well that go with the download programs. There's a house and land clearing program. Sorry, I'm talking. There's a Sheila Kennedy author page. There's a Reiki and Beyond page. Lots of things on social media. I have an Instagram under Sheila Kennedy. The Athlete Sports Bag has an Instagram and a Twitter, and we're in the process of a YouTube channel.
Look at you. So, amazing things coming.
Sheila-Kennedy.com is my personal website. There will be a new one very shortly called YourEnergeticBusiness.com. It's in process. And all the autism, I'm doing child, teenage, adult in the ADD, ADHD, dyslexia and so on, will be under autism need not be a life sentence.com basically. So that'll be around hopefully before the end of the year. The other giveaway that I'm working on at the moment is for post-traumatic stress. So people will find that under basically like the 7 steps to freedom. So the 7 steps to freedom from post-traumatic stress is on its way. So lots of good things to come.
Lots of great things. And I will try and include as many of those things on the description as possible when this podcast comes out. But I want to thank you again so much, Sheila. This has been wonderful. And I just love hearing you share all of this information. And I think we'll definitely have to do a part two continued. So thank you.
And thanks. for having me.
Of course. And to all the listeners out there, any topics you want to hear or guests you'd like me to have on, send me a message on my Facebook page at Jen Z or on Instagram at Jay Z Beauty and the Beast. I'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks. Bye.